I think one of the most frustrating things that we go through as aspiring sales rock stars is this whole business of not getting responses, right? Whether we're leaving voicemail messages or certainly when we're sending emails, just not getting a response. So if you've ever sat there and wondered, like, how the heck can I get more people to respond to me? Then today's episode is all about you. My name is Paul Castain, and I'm the author of the Your Sales Playbook blog and your host for the Sales Playbook podcast. I've personally trained over 10,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. So I'm sure I'm going to get like an all caps, like group amen from everyone when I say it's absolutely frustrating when we're making all these calls, sending out all these emails. Some of you I know, you go door to door, knock on doors, all this kind of stuff, and we're not getting responses. So today I have two ways where you could use a call to action in ways that you're not using it. Like when we mentioned call to action, I would say that like 99.9% of the sales playbook audience here is going to say, yeah, I've heard of that. But what we're going to do is we're going to go a little deeper into it. And I'm going to show you some ways to utilize them that your competitors are not using. So this is going to help you stand out and get more responses. So first of all, just in case, I wanted to give you my crazy definition of a call to action. Why? Not to baby you, but to answer my own questions, because I like asking questions like, why would I do that? Well, I would do it because of this. No, the real reason why I want to go over this is so that we're all learning from the same perspective, right? So my crazy definition of a call to action is something that we're asking the potential client to do, right? And most of the time, we think of a call to action in written form. Like, you know, we're sending out an email and we say something like, click here for this, reply to this email for that. So that's where I'm going. Again, my crazy definition, it's probably not sexy enough to be written up in any marketing journals, but your Uncle Paul's definition is basically a call to action is when we're asking them to do something, right? Where you're calling upon them to take action. So what can we do to utilize the call to action in ways that our competitors are not? Because see, this is all about standing out and doing little tiny things different that every step of the way, by the way, from the moment, like from hello, right? So that we get them from hello so that by the time it comes to like consider us for an actual change, and maybe we're in there, we're meeting with them, and we have a proposal in there. All these little tiny things add up into like this incredible difference between us and like way too many choices. So let's talk about two ways that you can use your call to action differently. The first one is, you ready for this? Call attention to the call to action. Let me say it again. Call attention to the call to action. Now, what this is simply introducing the call to action. So let me give you an example and let me give credit where credit is due. I learned this one from a gentleman by the name of Frank Kern, who I think is incredible, by the way. And he was a protege of another gentleman who is also incredible by the name of Dan Kennedy. Dan Kennedy is the author of numerous books, by the way. And he's like a god when it comes to like copywriting and direct marketing and things like that. And he is the author of an incredible line of books that I highly recommend that you check out. And it's called the No BS series of books. You can see how that would appeal to me. I'm kind of like No BS too, right? But anyway, he's like more No BS. I love this guy. And so one of the things Frank Kern was talking about, and I've heard him say this numerous times, is that I guess when he was first starting out or whatever, and he hit up Dan Kennedy for some advice, like, you know, what is the best way that I could get, you know, better responses on these pieces that I'm sending out? Again, I don't want to lock it into just email. And there were a few pieces of advice that Dan Kennedy had given. So I don't want to really quote this out of context. So I'm only going to just zero in on this one thing. But there were some other things that go with it. But in and of itself, it was a really solid piece of advice. So you have the things that you would normally do in the communication, right? Like the opening and the greeting and something compelling and kind of like the hook, if you will. the offer or whatever. And what he said was, is at the end of it, you ready for this? This is like so simple, it'll blow your mind. He said, right when you want them to do something, just simply put, here's what I'd like for you to do. I mean, like, think about that. Like, how damn simple that is. I mean, sometimes I think we complicate these things. And we're looking for this big, like, complicated, sophisticated, sexy answer. And meanwhile, we're tripping over, like, these, like, simple things that you don't have to be a rocket scientist to do. So he said, simply put, here's what I'd like for you to do. And then cue up the call to action. So here are some examples of how you might have them do this. You might do something like, here's what, oh, and by the way, I'm sorry, I just have to like pause for a second. One of the things that I marry into this is, especially in email, is we have to recognize that people love the sound of their own name, right? In fact, I think it was Dale Carnegie that said the sweetest sound in any language is the sound of one's own name. And what's happened now with all these automated things that are going out and the amount of noise that's out there is that somewhere along the line, we've lost almost like the personal touch and we've forgotten to address people by name. So the one thing that I marry into this, I guess, Dan Kennedy's approach is when I say, here's what I'd like for you to do. What I like to do is, let's just say I am sending this out to Nancy. Here's what I'd like for you to do, Nancy. And in my style of writing, which is crazy and might as well be just like written in a freaking crayon, is what I like to do is kind of almost consider it like a drum roll, right? Like I'm queuing up something. And in this case, I'm queuing up the call to action. So I'm going to, if it's in an email, I'm going to have that stand out a little bit. Like I'm going to throw it in bold. I'm going to use maybe a little bit of larger point size for that. And let's just say normally I send out my emails in like 16 point. This part of it here might be like 18 point. If you're doing 14 point, make it a little bit bigger, right? And throw it in bold. Here's what I'd like for you to do and their name. And then what I do is either put three dots or a semicolon. And then what I do is I simply do the call to action. Here's what I'd like for you to do. Reply to this email and let me know the best time next week where we can have a quick 15-minute chat, right? I mean, again, there's all different types of call to actions, and that's not what this is about today. It's about showing you how to use them differently so that you don't sound like everyone else, so that you don't keep showing up as another Me Too sales rep. So the first tip is to call attention to the call to action. Almost the best way for you to think about it, the way that I teach my coaching clients, the people who go through all these webinars and stuff that I do in the courses, the way that I teach them is to think of it almost like you're announcing someone, right? Like, here's a man who needs no introduction. Uncle Paul, give it up, right? So what we're doing here in a way is we're queuing up and introducing the call to action by simply cutting to the chase and saying, here's what I'd like for you to do. Now, I'm sorry if this is basic being you, but I feel I need to say this. Remember, this isn't the whole email. I don't want you to think, wow, I kind of get what you're saying, Kestin, but so what are we going to do? Dear John, here's what I'd like for you to do. No. That's like, yeah, we need to have like a little foreplay in here. So, but when it comes time to utilize the call to action, you cue it up by calling attention to the call to action. So that is kind of the first idea when it comes to calling attention to the call to action. There's a second one that you can do when it comes to calling attention to the call to action. What you can do now is you want to do something that makes them put on the brakes when they scan your email. Now, do we all agree? I mean, can we all agree on that? That people, ourselves included, we're in scanning mode all day. Why? Because the average person is sending and receiving 110 emails a day. Why? Because the average person is consuming about 34 gigabytes of information, which is a novel and a half each and every day. So what do we do to kind of combat that? We scan. So what we want to do is have something that when they're seeing all the, you know, like they're seeing the type, we want something that goes, whoa, hold on a second, right? Una memento, dude. So the ways that you can do that would be when it comes to like one of the most like easy to utilize call to action is like the old like click here thing. So what you could do is, and by the way, I think you guys know by now, I practice what I preach. So you will see this next example all over my website on yoursalesplaybook.com. And as a matter of fact, if you go on there today even and you look at today's blog post where you learned about this podcast today, you will see that I have a webinar coming up, and the way that I invite you, the call to action for you to learn more about it, reserve your spot or whatever it is, you'll see click here. Now, what I do is the word click, it's all lowercase, right? So the word click is all lowercase. The word here is uppercase, right? All uppercase. And what I'll do many times on the blog is I'll put the word here in bold and uppercase. In an email, I go a step further. And what you can do is, again, because I normally go 16 point in my emails, what I can do there is I can have it all 16 point, and even like the word click, 16 point, lowercase, and then the word here, uppercase, bold, 18 point. So that, again, they're scanning like, wow, what's this, right? It's almost subconscious, like, wow, well, oh, wow, let me check this out. Something seems like a little disturbance in the freaking force here. What's going on with Uncle Paul, right? So some other things that you can do, you can also, I mentioned bold, you could also italicize the word here. You can, again, make one of the words slightly larger than the other one or whatever. So those are some things right there. So again, two ideas. And this is another one coming at you. This was just the first category, but it had two ideas. So the first one is call attention to the call to action. And the first concept I gave you was kind of introducing or queuing up the actual call to action by saying, here's what I'd like for you to do. Now remember, you don't have to be married to that phrase. You could change up that phrase a little bit, right? But again, putting their name in there, I think is very, very important because it's another attention getter. And one of the things that I really believe, and I'm sure you'll agree, is that from like the time we were born, we were taught to respond to the sound of our own name. So putting that in there, again, it's kind of like tapping them on the shoulder and say, dude, I was talking to you. Right? But without being as dicky as I might have sound right there. So the next idea, and remember there's really only two categories of ideas today, but I think they can make a world of difference for you, is something that I call the reverse call to action. So let's define that. We know in a traditional call to action, I am asking you to do something. Reply to this email. Click here. That kind of thing, right? In a reverse call to action, I am telling you what I'm going to be doing instead of you doing something. And there are reasons why we do this, but let me give you some examples and I'll get into the why in a minute. So an example of a reverse call to action would be, I'm going to be calling you on Friday the 18th at 1:45 p.m. Now, let me explain to you why this works. And like anything else in sales, right? There's no like magic bullet here, right? If everything was foolproof, I would be like the richest son of a bitch on the planet, right? But all we can do is try, and all we can do is like move that needle like a tiny bit each and every time. But instead of being like a lot of like maybe like your coworkers and your peers and stuff and saying, well, I'd only get like a little tiny result here. See, I don't think that way. The way I think is that if I get a little tiny bit of a difference right here, and then I can do that five or six more times today and multiply that by five work days in the week and by the month and by the quarter and by the year or whatever it is, I mean, oh my gosh, man, I'm going to be kicking a lot of ass. And that's how we do it. So the reason why this works is because now if we're giving them a compelling why as to why they need to watch for that call from us or whatever that next action item is going to be that we're doing, not them. That's why it's a reverse call to action. It creates anticipation. And you ready for this? It creates a mystery that needs to be solved. Please write this down. If you're in the car, obviously pull over. And the reason, like, why mysteries work so well is that the brain loves a mystery. It can't have unresolved things. I mean, we go through this on a conscious level. I'll just give you a crazy example, and maybe this is just me being obsessed. But I was hanging out with my buddy over the summer. And by the way, it was this guy that was my old drummer back in the 80s, man. We hadn't seen each other since I think the last time we had hung out together was like 1994. So here we are, a couple of old bald dudes hanging out. And we were talking. And what happened was he said, you know, we ran into each other. It was kind of a sad set of circumstances. His brother had passed away. And, you know, we went out into the lobby and we were catching up. It had been a while, telling, you know, some funny stories about his brother and, you know, making each other laugh and kind of getting through it together, because we were really a tight bunch of people back in the day. And so I was like, you know, man, we can't forget to exchange phone numbers. So he I said, all right, here's my phone number. He types it in, and he types it into his phone. And all of a sudden on his phone, it comes up Paul Castain. He goes, I must have called you, whatever it is. And we're both looking at each other. I'm like, I think I'd remember a call from you, man. It's been like, you know, 22 years or whatever. I don't remember getting a call from you. So here we are, right? I mean, I don't know. Maybe this is a testimonial to like how shallow me and him are. We're at his brother's wake. We're out in the damn lobby, you know, telling stories and stuff. And we must have just kept coming back to that damn thing. Like, how the hell is my name in your phone? And we were trying to figure it out. And finally, we realized that the reason why it came up is that if you're connected on Facebook, right, it kind of gets like your contacts kind of merge into the phone and things like that, and that's why it happened. Now, it might seem like a ridiculous example that I just gave you there, but actually I think it's a strong example, because there is something that when you really think about it, in the whole scope of the world and in the context in which we were meeting, his brother passed away, it really wasn't that freaking important, but yet the brain was like, I felt like we were on like Seinfeld, obsessing over like, you know, like a low talker, or obsessing over why somebody does. Or did you ever wonder why people do this? So now what about if we were to take it from something insignificant and we were to make people hungry by use of what I call a potato chip, something that we say in that communication that makes them hungry to take that call. Now you marry that in with a reverse call to action, and you've given their brain a mystery that has compelled them to want to take that call. Now, again, I wish like I was the guy who invented the thing that gets us 100%. No, I'm the guy who's giving you an idea that will get you a few more responses. And really, at the end of the day, do we need a gazillion more responses? Do we need a gazillion more opportunities? Hey, man, I'll take it if somebody comes up with it. But right now, if we can improve upon the results that we're getting right now, now we're talking. This is how we start to make progress as sales professionals. So here's the other thing that it does, right? Now, if you notice, I said to get more responses. Now, you might be thinking, well, how does that get you more responses if they're taking the phone call? Well, that doesn't get you like a response, so to speak. It gets you a connect. It gets you in the game. But here's something interesting that I found. I first started teaching the reverse call to action, I'm guessing it was about 2011, 2012, with my private coaching clients. Then I started rolling it out in every single course, almost every webinar. I talk about the reverse call to action. It's like one of my trademarks, right, that you can count on from Uncle Paul when you train or when you hire me as your coach or to come in and do a keynote speech. I talk about these things. But here's where like something incredible started to happen. I started getting a lot of feedback from people. And people are like, oh my God, this is great. It's working well. But you know what, Paul? And Paul, of course, was my maiden name, right? They didn't call me Uncle Paul. I let that go. We didn't need formality. What the hell, man? And people were saying, Castain, listen, I don't always get people answering their phone when I tell them that I'm going to be calling at that time. But I found I get a higher, like more callbacks from people. And when I'm getting these callbacks, I notice the tone of the call is very different. Almost as if, you ready for this? They missed an actual legit appointment that we had on the calendar. So I have people calling me back and saying, I'm so sorry that I wasn't able to take your call at 1:45 p.m. I had something, but I wanted to call you back. And again, I think it ties into that anticipation and that mystery that we've created. So this reverse call to action can work wonders on the callbacks and, you know, the responses that you're getting. But I want to give you something to think about. What I want you to do is think about the different types of outreach that you're using. Now, you know what I mean when I say outreach, right? I mean, there's the phone and there's email. Some of you knock on doors. Some of you send snail mail. Some of you send FedEx, that kind of thing, LinkedIn or whatever. And I want you to think about where you can use, and I want you to pay attention to how I word this. I want you to think about how can you use the reverse call to action to connect two different touches, if you will. So let's just say in my arsenal that I am going to use email and the phone, right? Which like everybody and their mother is using. But I'm going to start nice and easy, and I'm going to get a little more complicated in a second here, if you stay tuned. So perhaps I send you an email. Well, in the email, I do the reverse call to action. That I'm going to be actually calling you, I'm going to call him by name. So in other words, I might say, Janine, I'm going to be calling you on Thursday at 9:15 a.m., blah, 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 right? So right there, what I've done is I've used a reverse call to action. It's like squarely in the middle here, connecting two different things. The form of outreach I'm using today and the one I want them to get ready for. Like I'm queuing it up, almost like calling attention to the call to action technique that we talked about before, right? So here are a couple other examples, and I want you to be thinking how you can use this. I don't ever want you to think, okay, this is the only way that we can do it. No, it's endless, and that's what's awesome about this. So the other day on my blog, I talked about how you could use a handwritten note and queue up a phone call. So again, that's another way that we can utilize the reverse call to action. Instead of typing it out and sending it through an email, now we're doing a good old-fashioned handwritten note. At the end of it, we're saying, watch for my call, or hopefully you can take my call at this day, at this time. Right? And again, don't forget, got to sprinkle some potato chips in there so that we make them hungry to want to take that call, to create anticipation, to have a mystery that needs to be solved. But also, could I leave you a voicemail? I mean, not that we're not getting voicemails. I mean, like, we're getting voicemails all the time. And one of the things I talk about, like, quite a bit, is how I am really against this practice of not leaving a voicemail. Anytime we have these discussions in my LinkedIn group, which is called Sales Playbook, by the way, and you guys should be like members of that and participating and hanging out with me over there. You have a lot of people there giving a lot of free advice, and you should be a part of that. But every time we bring it up over there, I mean, I just numerous places in training that I do, and there's a lot of people, I would say the vast majority, don't believe in leaving a voicemail. And I'm against that. And I'm not here today to go off on that tangent with you, but I'm here to say that, you know, what you have to do is you always have to look at what you've been given. And instead of sitting there saying, I'm not going to engage, a different and maybe a better question might be, how can I leverage that? So instead of saying, oh shit, man, I got the voicemail again. Maybe what you can just say, how can I use that voicemail to my advantage? Now, there's a lot of advantages to using a voicemail. Right? I mean, like for starters, they hear a human voice, kind of a good thing, especially living in such an electronic world today, right? And with a lot of noise, they get to hear your voice and they, you know, the tone and everything else. But here, how could we leverage it? We could use the reverse call to action. And what we could say is, in that voicemail, we could say, watch for a cool FedEx that I'm going to be sending you. You could even, if you do drop-ins, you could say in the voicemail, you know what? Mary, or you know what, Todd, or you know what, Uncle Paul, I'm actually going to be out your way on Tuesday, the whatever date Tuesday is going to be. And when it's going to be a drop-in, I like to give a time range. I'm going to be out your way between 1 and 3 p.m. If you don't mind, I want to stop by. I have a few things for you that really are going to underscore that merger you guys are going through, or that I really think would be helpful for you to have with that product launch of your X1000 line coming up in January. You see the potato chip, giving them the why, giving them a mystery. There's a few more. And this next example is awesome. I love this example. And this example, to give a shout out, would go out to a printing company by the name of Think Patented. And really a brilliant idea. And they are using the reverse call to action in all of its glory and in a way that you would not typically expect it to be used. So what they do is they have this hard copy type of newsletter. Notice how I said hard copy, because when we hear newsletter today, we're thinking right away something that's emailed to you. This is like good old-fashioned hard copy, printed, like feel it, the paper in your damn hands type of newsletter. And they call it the noodle, right, which is like kind of a different name, gets your attention. I kind of like it, by the way. In fact, my daughter, up until the time she was like 4 years old, if you ever wanted to get a lad to laugh, you would just say the word noodle. And she would like piss her pants, right? Which was a pain in the ass as parents, because then you'd have to like change her, right? So anyway, I digress. But what they do with that is brilliant. About a week before you get the noodle in your mailbox, you get an email that tells you to watch for it. They give you some potato chips to make you hungry, and they give you some highlights. Like, again, and I'm really butchering it, and in order to experience, you would really have to reach out to them and subscribe. So I'm not going to do it justice, but I can give you the gist. And the email might be something like, hey, watch for this. It's going to be, it should be in your mailbox by the 22nd or whatever it is. But in this issue, we're going to be talking about blah, blah, and blah. Now, you guys could do a similar thing, but I always recommend that you go even a step further. And what you could do is, again, use their name in that email so they know that you're speaking to them and not just 25,000 other people. So it might be something like, John, I want you to watch for our newsletter. It's going to be in your mailbox the week of the whatever. And the reason why I thought of you when it came to this is because we have an article about blah, blah, and blah. And it just, to me, I know it has, it would be very relevant to what you guys are experiencing now in the training industry, or, you know, what you guys are going through right now with your economy out on Long Island or whatever. Again, we're making it about them, which is very, very important. So that's another way that you can do it. So just to kind of summarize very, very quickly, we're talking today about how can we get more responses. Also, I think I'm also talking about how do we stand out in the process, because everybody's got all these things coming at them. What can we do to stand out and just get more responses from people? So we talked about, first of all, call attention to the call to action. We can do that first by introducing the call to action, sort of by saying, here's what I'd like for you to do, Paul. Don't forget the name in there. We also said that you can also call attention to it by doing some things with the type. Lowercase on the click, all uppercase, bold, italicized on the here, maybe a larger type of font or whatever, you know, type size or whatever it is on that part. Things like that. We also talked about the reverse call to action. The reverse call to action is, instead of asking them to do something, you are telling them something that you're going to do, but the thing that makes the reverse call, like the fuel, if you will, in that car, this awesome like performance vehicle that we have here with the reverse call to action, is playing on important emotional triggers, right? Like this concept of a mystery, a legitimate mystery, not just like some BS thing to get them to click or something like that. It could also, or not in this case, it wouldn't be click, like to take your call and it's like, yeah, I got nothing, but now that I trapped you, right? We don't want to do that either. We want to create anticipation. Hey, there's a new word there. It's like George W. Bush here making up some that makes you I'm sorry, I was just gonna like use a phrase from Harold and Kumar. Remember those movies? They were There was a whole skit with George W. Bush there. But anyway, I'm sorry. I can get myself in a lot of trouble here with my sense of humor. So what we're talking about here, again, is creating this anticipation. And, you know, I think also to go a step further, like all these like stupid jokes aside that I've been spewing today, is you know, there is this thing that people talk about an awful lot. And I first heard about it, I guess, about 6 years ago. And they call it FOMO, right? Which stands for fear of missing out. And I think that's why we are so overwhelmed with the amount of noise that's out there, is because we have this fear of missing out. So, like, we're clicking on all these things in our social network. We have all these emails coming in, fear of missing out. I don't want to miss out. I got to check this out. I got to look. I got to, you know, be in the know. Well, there's a way to work that to your advantage. If you can go and whet their appetite with a few potato chips, make them hungry, and then promise them a really good meal when they're hungry, then I think what's going to happen is you're going to increase, first of all, the likelihood that they're going to take the call or greet you when you show up. And if they can't do those things, I think what you're going to see is what, or what you're going to experience is what my clients have been experiencing, which is a lot more people actually calling you back and almost apologetically, like, hey, sorry I missed that 1:45 p.m. call when you sent it to me. I'd already had previous engagement, but man, I'm all ears. What's on your mind, Castain? You're going to be getting more of those. So there you have it. I mean, two really, really solid ways for you to stand out, increase your responses via two different types of call to actions. Now, we're going to be talking a heck of a lot more about this tactic during our 30 Ways and Places to Find New Business webinar. It's going to be taking place this Thursday, November 17th at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time. You guys know how I roll. If you can't make it, I want you to sign up anyway because I deliver it live and then I send out the recording afterwards. Let me tell you what I'm going to be sharing. We're going to talk about several places where you and your competitors have been forgetting to hunt for new business. This is like leaving money on the table. When I tell you what they are, right there, right there is worth the price of the webinar for you. I could stop there, drop the mic, leave the room, and you guys are going to say, damn, that was well worth the money. But also, we're going to talk about five ways to stand out and capture a buyer's attention. Three ways to use snail mail that your competitors miss completely. Three ways to use LinkedIn to generate an absolute, all caps, crazy amount of appointments. A totally different way to use email to get in the door. Remember, this is all about being different and standing out and not showing up as another Me Too sales rep with a Me Too solution to a buyer that has way too many options and way too many things on the brain. We're going to talk about how to put all these ideas together into a communication plan. We'll be utilizing that reverse call to action. I'll show you how to bridge together different things, cue them up so that people actually anticipate them. This way, you're getting more people taking your calls. I mean, many times people say to me, man, I wish there was a way that I can get people to answer their phone. This is the way that you do it, by the way. I mean, short of going in there and like roughing them up and saying, I'm going to kick your ass unless you take my call next week. This is the legal way of doing it, right? Which is always a good way of doing it. So if you'd like to learn more about how you could generate more opportunities, probably the timing isn't bad for this. We're coming into year end, folks, and also about to start a brand new shiny new year. I want you to visit yoursalesplaybook.com/30ways. Let me say it again. yoursalesplaybook.com/30ways. And on that note, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com, and I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Visit our website at www.yoursalesplaybook.com.